What is up, and welcome into the Locked On Chargers podcast. I'm your host, Daniel Wade, joined as always with John Kegley, my co-host, and two writers from San Diego Sports Domination, San Diego's top sports blog, who have been covering the Chargers for three seasons now. And this is our first with the Locked On Chargers podcast, bringing you your team every day. All right, John, today I want to talk about other Chargers who have signed on other teams like Tyrell Williams and Jason Verrett. Then I want to get into the best free agents still available that the Chargers could try to target. I know there's been a lot of talk about Ndamukong Suh, especially on Twitter, and whether or not the Chargers would be able to afford that. So we'll get into that and some other guys that are still unsigned at this point. And then to finish up the show, I want to talk about the Chargers from last season that still remain on the open market, and whether now, knowing the cap situation that we have, if the Chargers should bring them back or not. So let's go ahead and start with two big signings outside of the Chargers. And the really one big one is Tyrell Williams, who signed a four-year, $44 million contract with the Raiders, with $22 million of those guaranteed, really further cementing the fact that the Chargers were never going to get into that race as far as that kind of money with the cap situation that they had. Nor do I think that they thought he would be worth that much money. But John, obviously the hated Raiders did think he was worth that much money to give him that.
Yeah, but you know the Raiders, they like to overspend on a lot of people. Just look at Antonio Brown. But I'm wondering what the Chargers even tried offering him if they did. And he said he wanted wide number one money, number one wide receiver money, and he wanted to be a number one wide receiver. And he got that money, but he's going to be the number two guy behind Antonio Brown. So he didn't really get his wish as far as position, but he didn't get it as far as money goes, because there's just no way the Chargers were going to get that. It sucks that we lost him because he was really good at playing while hurt. He was really good at doing short passing routes that he could turn into big gains while also being a deep threat. He did the deep ball way better than Travis Benjamin did. The fact that the Raiders spent that much money on him is puzzling to me, because they already had Antonio Brown and they had so much cap space, and they spent it on two wide receivers already and not enough offensive linemen, except for Trent Brown, who they overpaid as well.
I was going to say, the real big contract that I would have an issue with is giving Trent Brown, a Patriots tackle who did play well last year, but he also has a quarterback that gets rid of the ball so quickly, giving him the biggest contract ever to an offensive lineman. I definitely don't think he's Joe Thomas out there, one of the best offensive linemen ever to get that kind of deal. But hey, the market is what the market is, and we'll kind of sprinkle that throughout the show too, just what some of these other guys we talked about the Chargers maybe bringing in have made. I mean, some of these guys, John, have just been making ridiculous money. Tyrell Williams is a guy that really got a lot better, John, in his time. You wouldn't know it by the numbers, because he did have that one really inflated season where Keenan Allen went down in the first game of the year to a torn ACL, and he just got a massive amount of targets and put up, you know, pretty good numbers, but he was not the receiver then he was last year. Last year, he stepped his game up in a lot of ways. He started targeting the ball at the highest point and being able to make contested catches, which is never something we attributed to Tyrell Williams. He obviously has the blazing speed that got the team's attention originally, something like a 4.3 speed at, you know, 6.4. Yet, the Chargers made the right move and not, you know, spending that much money on him. I know now you don't really have that deep threat outside of Travis Benjamin. And like we mentioned, he might not be on the team, hopefully not be on the team. So you don't have that field stretcher or really that guy that can take a ball over the middle and take it to the house on the team right now, which is what Tyrell Williams gave you at his best. But I mean, we talked about it before, how the lack of production we saw from him down the back stretch of the season and how he was still going to get paid regardless. So he got, you know, really good money, but he's not going to be the number one receiver like he said he wanted to be. He said he wanted to be that team's number one receiver. He's been in the shadow of Keenan Allen and now Mike Williams, and now he has to play second fiddle to one of the best wide receivers in the league.
And that's also with Derek Carr not being a guy the last few years that has thrown deep passes. He throws a lot of short passes, and I think that could help Tyrell Williams put up more numbers than Antonio Brown. But in the end, he's always going to be in the shadow of Antonio Brown because everybody's going to be talking about Antonio Brown, or you're going to say, are the Raiders failing because of Antonio Brown, or are they doing good because of Antonio Brown? Tyrell's never going to be that number one guy, even if he has the numbers for it. So I hope he enjoys still being in a shadow, and while also not having a Phillip Rivers type player to make him look even better than he really was. Tyrell Williams was great as far as what we got him for. He was undrafted free agent. I remember going to training camp and seeing him for the first time, and I was amazed by his ability to run routes and catch the ball with his speed and his height. But he was not as good as his numbers say he was, especially in his first year. You're right, he has improved, but he is not worth the money that he got. So as long as you have Antonio Brown there, you will never be that number one receiver. And even if you didn't get Antonio Brown, I still don't think he would have been the number one receiver. I'm sure they would have drafted somebody that would have been better.
Yeah, maybe. Or maybe they wouldn't have drafted anyone that would be better because they're still the Raiders. So there's that. But no, I mean, I doubt that he's going to put up better numbers than Antonio Brown. I think Antonio Brown's going to get a ton of volume for the reason that you spent that much money on him and traded for him. So I think he's going to get a ton of the volume. And Derek Carr's average yards per attempt is trash. So you got two guys that can really stretch the field and make big plays, but it's still yet to be determined if you have the quarterback that's going to be able to get them the ball. But at the same time, I'm happy for Tyrell Williams. For an undrafted guy to get, you know, a $44 million contract after really being on the edge of not making the league, that shows you the importance of being able to find those diamonds in the rough in undrafted free agency. But let's get into Jason Verrett. Happy to see Jason Verrett on a team. He signed pretty quickly, but not for a lot of money. It's a one-year, $3.5 million contract. John, you really weren't ever on board with the bring Jason Verrett back on a small deal. What did you think when you saw him get signed?
Good riddance. No more having to hope he doesn't get hurt or wondering what's going to happen. Or could we have done something better with that roster spot in free agency? He was good when he was on the field, but he was never on the field. So it was just like Ryan Matthews. When we had Ryan Matthews, he was a really good running back. Of course, people say he wasn't that great because they had just got done watching with Danny Tomlinson. But he was a good running back, but he was always injured. So I wanted him gone too. And he was gone. I felt the same way as I do Jason Verrett. Thank God he's gone. Let's move on and get somebody that will stay on the field and be consistent. But for him to get a deal, I agree with you. It's good to see that he got a deal. He definitely deserves a second chance, but I don't want it to be with the Chargers. I want to move on and try to find healthier guys.
Yeah, the talent with Verrett was always overwhelming, and you knew that he validated being selected in the first round. It was just the availability that always held him back. And it was just tough for Charger fans because every year you knew if he could just stay on the field, if this would just be the one year that he could make it through all 16 games, everyone would see how good he really was. And it just never happened. And just to, you don't have to hope anymore and then get your heart crushed by Jason Verrett getting injured. And that being said, I also want to see him do good. And he'll probably be a Pro Bowler on the 49ers next year. That's just how things go. But there are other guys, John, that would still make a difference on the Chargers. There's still a lot of talented free agents left on the market, namely Ndamukong Suh, as far as guys being linked to the Chargers. So let's go ahead and get into the guys that are still available out there and the Chargers could maybe get after coming up in the next segment. Well, John, now free agency is almost 2 weeks in the rearview mirror. We are in full swing, and there's a lot of guys that are still left on the open market. And I know what people are thinking. Well, now the Chargers don't have any cap space, and you are mostly right about that. But as we're going to talk about this segment, there's still some ways that the Chargers could free up some money to go after, you know, some of the guys that are still available. So obviously the number one guy I think on every Charger fans list right now would probably be Ndamukong Suh because he's still out there. The reports are that he's looking for a 10 plus million multi-year deal and an annual value of at least 10 million. But nobody's given that to him yet. The Chargers have been linked to him, but there hasn't been any official visits or anything like that to get excited about. And Albert Breer tweeted that the Chargers have about $13 million in cap space left. You have to keep about $6 million of that, John, for the draft picks. But, you know, with, you know, $7 million remaining in free agent budget, there is some ways that you could actually get more than that if you were to cut a guy like Travis Benjamin. If you were to cut Travis Benjamin, it would save you over $5 million. And then you would push that free agent dollars up to about $12 million, something around those lines. So with Travis Benjamin making as much money as he had, and like John referenced earlier, Travis Benjamin made $437,000 plus per reception last year. He only had 12 receptions, but that is way too much to pay for a guy like that. And I don't want to hear that he can stretch the field. I know that, but you also have to be productive when you're not just being a decoy. So, John, if the Chargers could, you know, figure out a way to kind of alleviate that cap space, would you maybe be interested in trying to push for Sue?
Only if he's willing to come down in money a little bit. I know he wants 10 plus million, but I'd be only willing to give him 8 mil just because there's some stuff we're trying to do here. We're trying to win. We're trying to make championships. We're not here to give players all this money so that they can roll around in dough and buy new cars and stuff. We're trying to win. So if you're willing to come in, maybe multi-year for sure, but not like 6 or 5 year deals like most guys want, maybe 3 years and go around 8 million, 9 million at the most, just give him a lot of that money guaranteed, then I would be willing to go after him. But if he's not willing to do any of that, I would literally just after the first meeting say bye, go find somebody else, go talk to the Seahawks or whoever else is willing to even try to talk to you.
John's telling Donald Kinsu to go kick rocks. Well, I agree with that. As
go
far
kick
as...
rocks. The only football you'll be playing is on Xbox.
No, I mean, we all know Indominus will be in the league next year if he wants to be. And I think where you're kind of, I think what you're talking about as far as, you know, don't give him $10 plus million is fair. And I don't think the Chargers ever would, because you still need money to sign other guys. I think, yeah, it's something around $8 million. You know, if you could get him for a 3 year, you know, $24 million deal with, you know, $12 to $14 million guaranteed. If he was willing to do something like that, where it's really a 2 year contract with the guaranteed money and it doesn't cost you anything to get rid of him in the third year, I think you could get behind something like that, because it would tremendously increase your pass rush on the interior, and it would also be better than the guys you had last season as far as run defense. And we all saw what Ndamukong Suh did in the playoffs. If you could get a few of those games out of him, it could really change the complexion of the interior of the Chargers defensive line. But hey, still a long shot, but you would definitely have to, you know, make some cuts to get a guy like him in free agency. And the Chargers have done that before. You know, Travis Benjamin is there, but if they find a guy that they could sign and they need to clear up some space, he has to be at the top of the list at money you could get rid of, because there's not a lot of other guys on this team that you could free up that kind of money for. So I think it's definitely still on the table. As far as other, you know, defensive linemen that are still available in free agency, there's still some pretty big names out there, John. You have Danny Shelton. You have Muhammad Wilkerson out there that could possibly play the three technique for the Chargers on the interior. And then you also have a guy like Timmy Jernigan from the Eagles. Do any of those names intrigue you at all as possible Charger fits?
All of them do. Muhammad Wilkerson would probably be my number one guy I'd want to go after. The only worry would be the money. Just like the Ndamukong Suh situation, is what's the money going to be? But I doubt he's going to go for the Ndamukong Suh type money. But if we could somehow get Muhammad Wilkerson for even maybe like $5-6 million a year, even though it's still kind of a lot, even if it's just a 1 year deal, even though Telesco will probably go for two, that's what he's been signing a lot of. If it's just a 1 year deal, I would be okay with that. You just got to really capture these Phillip River years and get guys that are aggressive and are ready to go out there and just eat offensive linemen alive. And I think Muhammad Wilkerson is that guy that can do it. Danny Shelton could probably be that guy too. I'm a little hesitant on guys that played for the Patriots, though. They just never seem to be the same guy after that. And Timmy Jernigan would probably be the cheap version, in my opinion. I know people will probably say he's probably going to cost a little bit more, but that's probably the cheaper route to go and still have an improvement on your D-line.
Yeah, exactly. And I think really the main thing with Timmy Jernigan is he's coming off of back surgery. So how much can you trust that he will be able to stay on the field? He was pretty available besides that, but at the same time, back injuries for defensive tackles are, you know, that doesn't always play out well. I would say it rarely plays out well. So you definitely don't want to put too many of your eggs in that basket. And that's the thing, John, with spending the money that we're talking about with Sue or even some of these other guys, if you're going to give Muhammad Wilkerson, you know, $5 to $6 million a season, don't want to spend so much money that if you lose that guy, you're screwed because too much of your money is tied up there. But these would all be guys that would fit, especially if you could get them on the cheaper end. Muhammad Wilkerson, we don't have a lot of tape of him playing, you know, that 4-3 defensive tackle, but I would think that he could play that Corey Legit, Darius Phylon role as well, even though some places have him listed as a defensive end. I like the fit there. So I think the Chargers could go with one of these guys. They haven't been linked to any of them specifically, but if the Chargers want to improve their defense, John, there's still guys on this market available. There's still a couple safeties that are out there that I know that you were looking at too, as far as being able to bring in a cheap free safety fix possibly.
Yeah, I'm kind of wondering if Glover Quinn's going to sign with this team. He has yet to sign, and there was a lot of Charger players that were trying to recruit him to the team. And something in my gut's making me feel like we might get that guy, but I don't know if the Chargers even contacted him. I know the players have, but have the Chargers actually contacted him? And then there's guys like maybe Clayton Gethers, who is more of a run-stopping kind of guy. He's kind of like an Adrian Phillips in a way, but or even Derwin James kind of player, not talent-wise, but as what role he plays. So those guys are some guys I've looked at. I want to know, Wade, because I know a lot of Charger fans have brought this up, so I feel like we should talk about it. What about Eric Berry? Do you feel like Eric Berry should be a player the Chargers could possibly look into?
Well, John, I like Eric Berry as a player, but with his injury history, especially over the last few seasons, not ever really being able to get on the field, I don't know if you could put that kind of money into him, because this is really the last chance that Eric Berry has at a big contract, more than likely. You could possibly see him get a one-year prove-it deal somewhere, but it's still going to be a decent amount of money. The way I think about it, I don't see him getting any less than, you know, a one-year $7, $8, maybe $9 million deal, even if he was going to go that route. But I like him as a player. I just don't know if you're the Chargers, who have such an extensive injury history, that you could go for a player like that who hasn't really played the last two seasons.
Yeah, I would absolutely avoid Eric Berry just because of injury issues. I mean, this guy missed a lot of games due to cancer and also had an Achilles issue that left him out for a long time. So I don't even want to try to even sign a guy that's missed so many games that'll probably be injury prone. Because if, as an NFL player, if you have not been in action, usually you get hurt even more, because you have to literally keep your body going and going and taking these hits and being in the weight room and doing these drills to prevent the injury, or else you're just going to put your body into a really strenuous activity that's going to break something or tear something or strain something. And he hasn't been on the field that much. It's kind of like Jason Verrett in a way. If you're not on the field a lot, you're going to get hurt, just like Verrett did. And I feel like Eric Berry would be another version of that. Even though you probably could get Eric Berry for the Jason Verrett money that the Niners gave him, I would actually just avoid him at all costs and try to either draft somebody for a safety or even go after Glover Quinn or any of the guys we mentioned already.
I mean, it would be hard for me to believe that he's going to sign as low as $3.5 million. Even though we did see Ha-Ha Clinton Dix sign that basic exact contract with the Bears. So, I mean, I guess there's a chance, but I think he's getting more than that. And there's a chance that Eric Berry goes out there and plays all 16 games next season. It's just highly unlikely, and it's not as if he's going to get more durable the older that he gets. It's hard to see that out of the safety position. But hey, you know, somebody could get a steal with Eric Berry. I think there's other teams that'd be willing to pay him much more than the Chargers ever would. But I do want to talk about a lot of Chargers that still remained unsigned from last season. We have a lot of guys on that list, John. So let's go ahead and get into that coming up right after this. All right, John, now I want to talk about the other Chargers from last season that still remain unsigned. We have a lot of players. I know me and you were going over it before, but give me some of the names on that list of Chargers that still remain as free agents from last season.
Kyle Emanuel, Antonio Gates, Donnie Jones, Darius Filon, Hayes Pollard, Artavis Scott, Geno Smith, Damian Square, Cole Toner. A lot of guys on that you don't really care about, like as Donnie Jones. He was horrible. It wasn't that great. We brought him because he supposedly held the ball better. But, yeah, I saw a video from one of the games where he did not do that well. So he needs to kick rocks. Kyle Emanuel can kick rocks. Hayes Pollard can kick rocks. Geno Smith is definitely going to kick rocks. So there's not that many guys left on there that you would get.
I'm more focused on the guys that would absolutely help this team to bring back. A guy like Darius Filon, who we've talked about before, is still unsigned. We talked about the Patriots being interested in him. But at this point, we don't have anything to go off, John, as far as will Darius Filon come back to the Chargers.
And I've actually seen that there's multiple teams that are getting interested in this Darius Filon race, if you will. So he might get some decent money, and if the Chargers don't hurry up and try to keep him with us, that contract might go up and you might have to bid for him. And if he goes past that bid limit that the Chargers have, you could lose Darius Filon. If we lose Filon, we will have lost a big piece of this D-line. We already signed Brandon Mebane, who was not very productive. Filon was the productive guy. So if you sign the guy that's not productive for too much money and not give any money to Darius Filon, something's going on with this Chargers general manager staff. Because unless you're looking to draft somebody with that first pick and that's why you're not looking at Filon, something is not right here.
And honestly, John, it might already be too late. I mean, I think Charger fans have to kind of come to terms with, hey, the more teams that show interest in Darius Filon, the less likely the Chargers will be able to sign him. I mean, he needed one of those Brandon Mebane type deals out the gate to just come back and have him re-signed. I mean, now with teams showing interest in him, if there's any sort of bidding war, it's going to go outside of the Chargers' price range more than likely. And that really hurts because you did give Brandon Mebane that money. And there's now, I mean, a more and more chance that Darius Filon signs elsewhere. But getting into some of the other guys on this list, I know Antonio Gates is another guy that you would like to see back. I'm on the fence about.
Yeah, I want him back just because he knows how to play with Phillip Rivers. If you have that kind of chemistry and he still was productive and he's not looking for a lot of money in a contract, I say you bring him back and not have to figure out a whole new another piece on offense. You're going to have Hunter Henry back. You'll have Antonio Gates. You know, the real question for me would be, is Virgil Green going to be productive if you re-sign Antonio Gates? Or are you going to have to get a new guy for that? There's so many things that come in my mind for if Antonio Gates is not there, who's going to be the guy to be your second tight end that you can rely on?
And right now, that guy's not on the roster. But the good news about Antonio Gates is I think it's kind of Chargers or bust. I could be wrong, but that's what I've kind of read out of the things I've seen is I don't think he's going to play for another team. So I don't think the urgency needs to be, hey, get Antonio Gates signed right now. So as far as much as it is with some of those other players. But for me, I mean, Darius Filon's number one on the list. I think you could make an argument from Damian Square, even though he did not play well last year. And then obviously the guy we haven't really touched on in this is Corey Leggett, who is another, you know, Jason Verrett type of, I don't know what to do with this, because when he was in last season, he actually played pretty well, as hard as that is for me to admit. But I just don't see a scenario in which the Chargers would get back into Corey Leggett game.
Oh, if we bring back Corey Leggett, that's going to be a heartbreaker for me, because I'm so glad that he is gone. We can get so much better now on the defensive line now that we don't have to worry about his contract or him playing. So if they got back in that game, that's going to be heartbreaking. And if they did that and still didn't bring back Darius Phylon, that's going to be the biggest question mark of the offseason so far. And that's before the draft. But I would believe that that would even be the biggest question mark even going into training camp. And as far as Antonio Gates goes, I would actually expect him to sign after preseason is done again, just like last year.
Yeah, or at least after training camp, because you know that guy isn't trying to go through another training camp at his age, because that's the one thing players hate about the NFL, at least in the offseason, is training camp, because, hey, that's when things get real, that's when it starts getting hot, and that's when the sweat is coming out where it's the hardest, and you're doing stuff multiple times a day, all day, every day. But I think that's pretty much it for the Chargers free agents. Any of those other guys that you would, you know, think about bringing back, or you'd be upset if they left?
You absolutely have to bring back Kyle Emanuel. I mean, what are we going to do without him?
Jesus Christ.
I'm kidding, everybody. Yeah, I'm wondering how many people's hearts drop right now. Like, what? What is he talking about? But yeah, the rest of those guys, you can honestly just let go. Just let them go. And maybe Damian Square could probably be the guy you sign if nothing else happens as far as defensive line goes. But everybody else can really just go away. You don't need to waste your money on them. They'd probably go after one of them.
Well, hopefully they already did that, and that was the Brandon Mebane deal, because that's the only guy so far that they brought back that you would have a big issue with, which we did when we saw the numbers about it. But I think that pretty much wraps things up for the Chargers free agents. We will see if some of these guys even stay in the league with the production that they had. But that's going to wrap things up for today's show. Free agency is still in the process, so we might have more news to bring you. Hopefully it's good news and we don't have another Brandon Mebane situation and we find out they gave Damian Square, you know, 3 years, $12 million. But hopefully the Chargers can bring in some more impact players in free agency, because we know they've been quiet and we know Tom Telesco likes to strike late in free agency. But we will talk to you guys later on in the week. Until then, make sure to follow us on Twitter at LockedOnLAC and to like the Facebook page, Locked On Chargers. Make sure you subscribe and review wherever you get your podcast, whether it's iTunes or Apple Podcasts or Spotify. And also, we want to hear what you think of the Chargers free agency so far. And you can do that by calling the Locked On Chargers voicemail line at 323-524-7924. We will put your voice on the show if you leave a voicemail for us. And we all know that the best way to listen to the Locked On Chargers podcast is by listening on the way to work and by telling your smart assistant when you get in your car, play podcast Locked On Chargers, and it will play the latest episode. But we will talk to you guys later. Take it easy and go Bolts.